Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going up now.
Highway Diaries, what's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. This is episode 19, Devin Murphy and Stephen G, and we're talking with Devin Murphy.
How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Kicking it, you know? Kicking it, just...
Wow, we just went on a ridiculous hike today.
It was a pretty good hike. It was pretty long. I don't know how many miles it would be. I'm the kind of guy who measures miles and hikes.
But if we had to throw out a number...
Probably like 600.
At least, yeah. That's your lowballing it.
It depends which system you're using. If you're using the American system or the European system. Mm-hmm.
And when you get into quantum physics, we've gone through all eternity forever.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But it feels like we haven't done anything
yeah.
at the same time. That's the hard part when you start throwing all those numbers and like...
That was probably the medical brownie that we had, though.
Yeah. Medical brownie. That, we were dividing shit.
Yeah. Know. You had to weigh that stuff out.
Plus,
anyway.
Plus signs.
So we're working on a project. We know each other from college and...
Eugene Lang.
Eugene Lang College. We got degrees in liberal arts, whatever the fuck that
means. I'm a bachelor
means.
Of the liberal arts.
What does that mean? I appreciate art, and I'm a liberal. It's really that
simple. It's like, I don't really want to cement myself to any, like, firm interpretation of what arts will be.
Right.
So I'm just going to be really liberal.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, you know, is that, you're doing a dance piece on top of stamps. That's a great, senior project.
I heard one guy became a doctor because he put a butt plug up his ass, mm-hmm. and roller skates on, and roller skated around naked with a butt plug and made a 15-foot-long spaghetti poop, and then he became a doctor of avant-garde theater.
A doctor. It's important, too, to distinguish that he was a doctor, and he wasn't just an associate level.
Yeah, see, when you're a liberal artist, hello, the door's open on your mind.
Yeah, you gotta keep your interpretation of what is art really open, really liberal.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like, with my liberal arts degree, I'll put on a piece of theater and I'll shine the lights on the audience and the stage will just be dark.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is bold.
That's how I cross the line.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's really important because it's experimental mm-hmm. and it's got to be great to be in that audience. I feel like you'd have to transcend modern theater. Mm-hmm.
And I just love calling someone a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like. Like that guy insists he's called a doctor. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I did my degree work. It's very important. Bend what is. You stuck a fucking funnel up your ass, you dumbass. So we shit on avant-garde theater because we kind of come from a world of comedy and stuff, and comedy. When you're in front of an audience, you get those fuckers to laugh. And that's the fucking goal.
That's pretty important. That's one of the key elements of comedy.
With avant-garde art, you can liberally interpret it. And if you mm-hmm. don't understand it, you're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you can't even see it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot going on. And, like, there's so much avant-garde theater going on all the time that we can't even see. Like, it's happening just... on another level.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I grew a year.
I feel like I grew like an inch.
In wisdom.
In wisdom, yeah. In brain capacity. It's Whoa. Not full yet though, because I got to see this theater, and then I'll fill that extra brain capacity.
So we're shitting on avant-garde theater. We're putting a little web series together called...
just a little one.
It's called Here Comes Godot. What's going on, Here Comes Godot?
Here Comes Godot is about two New York City actors doing the theater thing. They both graduated with liberal arts degrees and are trying to apply themselves as actors in the New York downtown theater scene. However, it turns out that the New York downtown theater scene is really kind of avant-garde in the worst way.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
could talk about it. It's really... just shitting out of funnels and roller skating and so they're trying to break out. They're trying to really get with a good director and find their breakout role. And turns out everything's looking. I don't know how to put it.
Yeah, they're like it's the bottom of the barrel acting in like the theater scene. So mm-hmm. like off Broadway experimental art theater scene in New York City is what kind of they fall into. And they and my character is you know, someone we kind of modeled it after like a Richard Foreman type or someone, but these actors come to me and I'm the most ridiculous avant-garde,
the most ridiculous theater
guy ever. And so it's just, you're kind of seeing like what art is and, you know, ego and everything in the backdrop of, you know, New York City theater.
So. Yeah, exactly. So these two characters, the two leads, struggling actors, they book a role doing Here Comes Godot, a famous Samuel Beckett play, really a pinnacle of avant-garde theater up there, you know.
But the Beckett estate is very particular. You cannot, it's like illegal to do the play without having very specific things on stage. For example, you need to like bury the actor in dirt. Because Samuel Beckett, the writer of the play, had like incredibly specific guidelines of what the audience is supposed to see in this ridiculous play. Here Comes the Dough. So,
yeah. In fact, one production was set on a subway platform. There's two characters waiting on a bench. You know, a couple characters come by, and instead of waiting for Godot, they're waiting for the G train, and they're sitting there, and the Beckett Estate actually sued the production and got them shut down immediately. And this was a famous director doing this as well.
They have power. They have copyright power, you know. They can sue people.
Sue them into the ground. So your character, though, is doing a pretty liberal interpretation of Here Comes Godot.
So, uh-oh, that sounds like the Beckett Estate might sue me.
Uh-oh. That, you know, could happen.
Drama.
But until that does, your character, Richard Wilson, is putting on this avant-garde piece of theater where the whole point of the show is that, of Here Comes Godot, is that Godot never arrives. It's about waiting. It's about existence.
Yeah.
You know, Godot could be different things. It could be God. It could be the devil. It could be boredom itself or relief. But he never comes. Well, your character, though, is going to spice things up because it's avant-garde, so you're going to cast a Godot. And he's going to be in the play. But they just can't see him. I feel like that's...
I know it sounds inside theater-y, like, oh, I didn't see the play here, like, waiting for Godot. It's not about that. You're watching Here Comes Godot, our web series, and you're going, those are actors, and good God, it's hard.
It's hard getting
a role.
It's hard being in someone else's work.
Yeah.
And hoping, the best for yourself, but you're still someone's monkey, no matter what you do.
Someone, you're just like lines to drape on, like a model walks around and sells clothes. You're just a face to drape lines onto.
Yeah, you're just a line face. So, being a theater actor is like being an asshole. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah. Speaking of the Beckett Estate and like suing people, do you ever feel like politics and everything, it's like, it's so much like witchcraft, you know, because I was watching Lincoln recently, and just like, look at like Congress, you know, there's one guy who's at the top, is kind of like, you know, there's a hierarchy in the room, and then one guy's like the grand wizard, and then he slams a gavel, and all this paper that's been ratified or whatever, now that paper becomes something that modifies someone's behavior, you know what I mean? And that's a law now. You can't do this. Bah.
And that's witchcraft?
Yeah. And then you need a lawyer who like has some kind of magic to like
in with the
to like spray magic, like legal magic back at the government.
Take this. This is invisible malleable force.
Yeah. I'm going to sue you. It just seems so fucking crazy that you know, the system that we're in, you know, is this invisible system. You know, everyone works so hard for your bank account, and it's just like invisible numbers in a computer that you look at online, and you go, yeah, that's probably there.
Yeah,
they got that all figured out over there.
As long as I can keep doing this thing that I'm doing, because that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah.
Then everything else will fall into place.
Yeah.
That's what I assume. All my money's out there somewhere.
Just in waiting. Cyberspace.
Protected by some coven. Just probably using it for their own purposes, but then like feeding back into it. You know, so it's not like a full blown Ponzi scheme, but like, you know,
right.
they're still lending out some of that money.
I think
taking some of it back, you know.
The the currency is like based on like our own confidence in it. So if you think money's real, then the value of money goes up.
Yeah.
It's like if you shop and use that money and you buy into the, you know, it's this weird like fucking witchcraft shit. Think about money and the power that has
think
over
about
everyone.
Money. Think about
what the fuck is money?
What is
it's
money?
It's paper.
The root of all evil, I've been
with
told.
These satanic logos on them.
Yeah.
Freemasonic logos on them. Everyone's wearing this paper everyone, you know, lives and dies for.
Yeah.
What is that paper?
What is money? Have you heard? There's a lot of witchcraft going. Look at Cyprus. I found out what you call someone from Cyprus.
What do you call
a Cypriot?
What?
Yeah. So the Cypriots right now are going to Russia to ask for money because the Cyprus is on the euro now, but their banks are done. Their banks have been closed all week, and they're asking basically for a bailout from the EU because you know they can't let them crash because it's like you know they have the same amount of money, but they owe just as much money as they make in a year. Mm-hmm. So their banks are kind of failing, and all the Cypriots are going, and like they said, like the energy minister is talking to one Russian guy, another guy's talking to another Russian guy.
Where is Cyprus? If someone hypothetically didn't know where the hell it was,
Cyprus is in the Mediterranean Sea, right by Greece,
and it is its own country.
It is, although it usually gets lumped in with Greece, I believe, but it's right there. Cyprus, Turkey, they all were battling each other for a long time.
Yeah, here's my feeling about this. That, why do you force a bunch of different people together under one currency? If the Mediterranean countries, if they want to have their guys, like, retire at 50 with a nice cushy pension, that's going to devalue their currency. So if everyone has their own currency, now it's just like Germany can't bail out every Mediterranean country that has a different work ethic and culture and sense of when they should retire. Exactly. And so
spend
if you want
days on beaches and nightclubs.
If that's your, but then if your currency is cheap, then more people go to your place because it's cheap to vacation in Cyprus, even though it's beautiful. So that's kind of how that all balances out.
Yeah.
So when you force everyone together and homogenize it, one country is going to be financially better than another one, and that country is just getting fucked every year by, you know.
But at the same time, I think, like, they agree to it because, you know, the bigger country wants to wield a little bit bigger of an axe in the union. You know, the smaller ones want to get into it because they want their money to be worth a little bit more. But then you look at, like, the UK, which opted to stick with the pound. And just, you know, and now the pound is worth, I mean, the euro's worth a decent amount now, too. Mm-hmm. But the pound's always, like, double the dollar.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we're good with our own system because we got a lot of shit. We're wealthy as hell. Yeah.
What do you think of the queen? Because for me, the queen, I feel the same way about the queen as I do about the pope. How about you don't live in a castle and you sell your crown off your fucking fat head, your do-nothing head? Can you imagine how delusional you would be if you were the queen, where you actually thought that your blood was, like, better than other people's? You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty
tough. Your blood, like, is some kind of royal blood that some ancient fucking bloodline of an alien.
fucking tribes and, like, mountain lions and shit were all fucking each other and came up with your blood.
Yeah.
A couple aliens dropped in.
Yeah, an alien dropped a load in a fucking chimpanzee.
Stonehenged your ass and fucking...
Stonehenge.
Yeah, Stonehenge did. It's like, yo, check this out. Let's do this, right? And I'm going to fuck you a little bit, and now you're going to be a king.
Yeah,
but, like,
you
have to keep up, like, the appearances, you know? You have to pretend that you're royal. Otherwise, like, people might see through it, and, like...
It's just all bullshit. Why is that... What, she's more special? She's more special than all the, like, children in Africa that are dying of poverty?
I don't know, but isn't it important to have an icon, to have something for the people to look up to?
Well, what is she doing? If she actually did anything... Then I would be like, you know what, well done, you know? She saved a kid out of a burning building or whatever.
Cory Booker'd that shit.
She just has these elaborate meals every day with all this pageantry around. So then, like, then every day she sees the procedure of everyone. You know, she never gets an honest word to her ear, you know? I don't know.
She thinks she's pretty fucking important. That's what you're trying to say.
You know what I heard that the Pope did recently?
What did the Pope do?
The new Pope. We got a new Pope.
Yeah, new Pope's in the house, right?
Let me tell you what he did.
He's up to... Is he giving, like, orders and everything now? Has he, like, already been, like, instated? Or does he have to be, like...
Yeah, I think
so. So Benedict is done. He's, like,
he's out.
Off to go... Yeah. I heard his weird thing.
I heard that he, like, litigation was gonna, like, kids were actually pointing fingers at him, saying that he molested them or whatever, and you can't have, like, an infallible guy, like, getting dragged through, like, a trial or whatever. So, they just ixnayed on that. But,
yeah, I mean, he was responsible for, like, whitewashing some incidences of people getting molested when he was, like, a cardinal.
Yeah, and, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, used to kill people, like Knights Templar and different religions, or different groups, you know, they would chop their heads off during the Spanish Inquisition and stuff like that. Okay. Then one of their own molested kid, and then they redistribute him. How about, weren't you, like, chopping, like, people's heads off before and stuff? And
yeah.
How about you go medieval on their ass? Or you have some kind of ritualistic, you know, neutering ceremony.
Yeah. That, you know, castration has really fallen out recently. But I feel like there still are, like, you know, places where they have lots of eunuchs.
Yeah. And why does the fucking priest need testicles if he's not going to procreate?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he might be happier. Like a dog. You get a dog neuter when it's a little. It grows up, it's a little happier. It lives a little bit longer, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might maybe cut the Pope's balls off when he's young. like raise a Pope to be a Pope.
Yeah.
But cut his balls off, you know? Yeah. Like Dalai Lama him. But, like, cut his balls off.
Have, like, a real purpose if that's what you're going to do. Or you're going to jerk off. Or you're going to have wet dreams because...
That's true. Wet dreams are uncomfortable. And I feel like wet dreams are one of those things that, like, everyone, like, hears about and learns about. But they happen so infrequently to anyone, I imagine.
Because everyone's regularly masturbating.
Exactly. The internet came around. AOL started sending these discs to everyone's mailbox. And suddenly we all discovered that, like, mm-hmm. you know, we can masturbate and we never need to have wet dreams again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if... So he's either having wet dreams, the mm-hmm. Pope... Because, you know, well, I don't know if his piece of action still works. You know what I'm saying? Just ignoring, saying, oh, he made two orders of businesses. The first order of business was, by the way, gay people shouldn't get married.
Yeah.
Just right off the
That's
bat.
That's going to throw everything on its head if that happens.
Second order of business, you know, there was an actual news story that the new Pope acknowledged Jews.
Really?
He made this newspaper.
They do exist now.
He's acknowledged them.
I'm pretty sure they were acknowledging them in the Spanish Inquisition. Say that.
No, but now the new Pope there's Jews.
Hmm.
They're out there.
News story. They do live.
Why does anyone care that this guy acknowledges that there's Jews now?
Apparently because he's in charge of, like, a billion Catholics.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that he, like, is supposed to know the most about was Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. I think they've been fucking acknowledged. Last podcast, right before this, 18, was all about this banking conspiracy. And I played a lot of clips, and it wasn't really funny. And it wasn't like a normal episode. It was just me DJing different conspiracy
but informing,
guys.
Informing the masses.
Well... I wouldn't call this audience masses. I think that's really overstepping the bounds on that.
But someday, I mean, that's why you archive everything.
Yeah.
You're going to go back through, like, they'll call it the basement sessions.
There you go.
They'll be like, wow, I'm so happy this guy, like, archived everything he did.
Because... And I do feel a responsibility. Like, I know that it's going to be on the internet forever, so I do, like, try to edit it and make it so it's, like, the meat of the shit, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway...
I was just going to say, since we were
internet, for sure.
Do you think the internet's going to be around forever?
Well, of course. I don't know what forever means.
For as long as there are people.
You know, in quantum physics, forever is happening now, always.
And already happened.
What? I feel like quantum physics is just the art of just saying something crazy and then just walking away, shaking your head.
Yeah, you got to lift up your arms like that. Science is on my side.
Yeah.
I've proved everything there is to prove by mentioning quantum physics.
And they're like, this very experimental math. But let me just say that everything that is, if you don't understand quantum physics, that's the most genius thing ever.
Yeah. It's a shame that there aren't many people in the masses with quantum physics degrees instead of liberal arts.
I know. Quantum physics is like the liberal arts of, because it's like, what is even science anymore? Yeah.
We're gonna come up with string theory. People are like, what's string theory? It's like, just think about like a bunch of strings, like fucking vibrating. Like, that's everything. Everything's just a bunch of strings vibrating. So like, you could pack up your shit now and like end it, or you can, you know, or you can keep going.
Strings.
It's up to you. It's just a whole bunch of strings vibrating. Yeah, that's your life.
But what is anyone supposed to do with that knowledge? It's very, like, you know, most science is like, oh, this is a cure for this. Oh, okay, so if you have scurvy, you eat an orange. Science.
Yeah, it's applied. Sounds applied, good.
With quantum physics, it's just like, what? So you're saying there's an infinite number of dimensions and an infinite number of me on a different number of planets?
It sounds like it would be a good job. It's like, so you're proving all these things that you can never really know.
Right.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah, that this sounds all right.
But I think that...
Go on.
I think the internet's going to be around forever because I think that evolution is still happening right now and we're going to evolve into cyborgs. And I think that's the next logical step. And I think all of our, like, sci-fi, all of, like this, you know, this fear, like Terminator, you know, like Blade Runner, like this whole fear of that one day, like, machines are going to be indistinguishable from us. I think that's just natural.
Yeah.
I think the internet's always going to be there. It's just going to grow more advanced. Everything's going to become wireless. We're going to get, like, nanobots, start, like, putting them inside us to, like, control...
They already have prototypes on, like, Google Glasses and stuff. And when you're walking around, it's like, oh, there's a special on sushi over there. There's a, but you're putting on something that's going to be advertising to you when you know what I mean? Unless it, like, samples, like, you know, horny girls or whatever. I don't know what.
That'd be nice.
I'm going to put on shit, I don't want to be advertised to in my head all day.
No.
Unless it's going to do something for me.
Yeah, unless you can take, like, GIFs of, like, chicks walking by. Like, that, you know, that would be the whole...
Just blink twice and it's in your memory bank.
Yeah, exactly. It's just secure. And it's, you know, and it's live on the internet. Because we're all gonna know each other. Because we're all working to some greater good.
It is weird, like, the you know, fungus, has, like, these incredible, like, nervous systems under a lot of nature. If you have, like, a giant wooded area, the, like, fungus systems can, like, almost communicate with each other as well with chemical releases and stuff.
Nice.
It's like this giant thing. It's almost like the internet is, like, the human extension of that, where we're just, like, this giant organism, like, plugged into each other's minds, literally, and going, this is what I think. I'm writing a blog. This is what I think. This is my podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're all going to be on the same wavelength soon enough.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's evolution. I've just proved it through string theory. I've proved that evolution is us turning into machines.
You braved over some of the details of string theory.
Well, it's like vibrating stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
okay,
like, machines are going to become, we're going to become one with machines. Because why wouldn't we?
Yeah,
it just makes sense.
Totally,
we could just make ourselves so much better if we just became one with machines.
Just something easy, like a contact lens that you can zoom, like, 200 times.
Yeah, that's all you need. And maybe x-ray and infrared.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, when it's dark. Mm-hmm. After you go on a long hike and you're just trying to get home.
What do you think about, like robots, you know? Like, if, you know, you start get it like a Stepford wife or something like this.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think that people are going to become robots before we ever had, like, fully functioning autonomous robots.
Right.
I think that that's what science fiction is missing. That we're just going to skip, we're going to go A to C right here, and we're just going to become robots ourselves.
So, like, what if they're like, oh, you know what? You can definitely jump over, like, that apartment building over there if we take your legs off and give you, like, these robot legs.
Yeah. It would be like that. But instead of having to take your legs off, they just have to give you some fucking nanobots that go into your body and just develop muscle tissue and, like, make you a beast.
Oh.
You don't... I mean, the government right now, the military is working a lot on nanotechnology, making super soldiers. It's always super soldiers. Any awesome... You know, action movies got to have super soldiers in it.
Yeah. What I don't get about super soldier is, like, once you make, like, an atomic bomb, like, some guy who can throw, like, an awesome high kick and, like, has, like, great endurance just seems, like, completely stupid. Like, what? It's like, you have the ultimate thing. Why fuck around with a super soldier? You really need the guy to, like, parkour around the city.
Yeah, maybe that's where robots will come in. we'll get robot soldiers, just super people.
Yeah. Nanobots.
Yeah. We're afraid of collateral right now. We just got to send in a couple super soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, all surgery is gonna, I think, become... Like, when a surgery is a series of procedures, And it's like, cut this open, then move this artery. Like, wouldn't a robot with, like, sensors and
precision,
you know what I mean?
Arms.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You know, your robot's not like a recovering alcoholic who's, like, shaking his hands while he's trying to cut you.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah. Exactly.
Taking it one day at a time.
Steady,
you know?
Fucking hands.
Yeah. Like, he's like, he's thinking the whole time, if I could save this life, you know, and then I'll make it through tonight.
And I could save. But, yeah.
You get rid of that with machines. Or you, yeah. or you just give him a robot appendage. That, you know, controls his drinking.
The nanobot just is in his brain going, well, just giving images of his dad being disappointed in him every time he drinks.
Yeah, his dad just being upset and never again. It's just his dad hanging out but never again saying, like, I love you. Or, like, I'm proud of you.
Or just, like, really bizarre, like, avant-garde liberal arts visions of these nanobots put in his head.
Yeah.
Of, like, his dad, like, being ashamed and wearing like a clown makeup and walking in the corner and just shitting himself and then crying.
That's the next step from the Google Glasses.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the hallucinations just get worse and worse if you keep drinking. Nanobots!
Nanobots. Yeah, and he's torn because he needs the nanobots to continue being a surgeon because his drinking's got so out of hand. But at the same time, nanobots are going to replace him. He knows it's coming. He can only survive with them inside him for so long before they become him.
So they're just like a giant battle in his own mind for his own consciousness against the nanobots. $20 in my pocket. I've talked a lot about on this podcast about free energy technology. How the government's suppressing cars that can run on water and all that stuff. And I don't know. I just look around and it's like we're given the illusion of choice a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You look down a soda aisle and there's 9,000 different ways, different choices of how to flavor high fructose corn syrup. So you're really only giving one choice. It's like, how do you like your high fructose corn syrup?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And with cars, it's like, oh, there's all these choices. All these engineers are spending all this time, all these choices with the same thing, gasoline. But if you have an electric car and solar panels on your roof, you know, you have a free car that goes around, even just with that technology.
Do they have, so you, I haven't seen this water car yet, but is it like, does it take solar power and then use water? Like, how do you get energy from water? How do you get fuel?
Yeah, you need a little to get a little. Like, what you do is you have a current go through the water, separate the hydrogen and oxygen, and then you combust the hydrogen.
Sure.
And then it's a hydrogen power car. We know about hydrogen power cars because Honda's like leasing them out to people. Also, if you have a hydrogen power car, you can just have an electrolysis machine at your house or whatever that converts water to hydrogen, and then you can pump up your own. I saw in Germany they're selling these solar panel water splitters. So if you have a hydrogen car, you can have a solar panel water splitter and get your own hydrogen and put it right in your car.
Really?
It's over.
Dude, yeah, but then what are gas companies going to do?
That's the thing. You can't buy hydrogen-powered cars right now. You can only lease them. So technically, Honda still owns them.
Really?
So they can take them from you, just like they did with those original
electric
cars.
The
electric car. Yeah. So it's like, they're just slowly dragging. It's almost like cars are like security level. It's like a car that could get, you know, 50 gas miles per gallon is like top secret. Mm-hmm. And then it's super top secret and more, you know what I mean? And the higher you get up the chain, the more people have been
only like
head chopped off.
The top Scientologists can tell you like how, you know,
how
to get a car to run on water.
That's it's just weird when your leader had the basis of the knowledge base that your leader is the main assumption that he's doing is, you know, you got alien thetans in your bud. Like, that's like the basis of his science.
That's what it all comes down to. He didn't want you to forget that he was also a science fiction writer.
Right.
So
he's very successful.
Yeah, this is my religion. However, I got some ideas about where we came from.
That's like a man, like, going in front of the curtain, announcing himself, and then slowly slipping back behind the curtain again, and then continuing to write science fiction for a very devoted audience.
Yeah.
Who you've completely made crazy.
And I feel like on the lower levels, I feel like there's definitely like some brainwashing or cultism in there. But on like the higher levels, I feel like there has to be some sort of tax incentive. Or there's that Scientology is operating as some sort of program where people with a lot of money can donate tax-free, you know, can put their money in to this church. And then on the upper levels, you're getting that back in, like, you know, like, there's, like, the Celebrity Center. And, like, there's, like, a certain, like, network where you're actually getting, you're paying for membership. It makes me think of a clubhouse. And then you have the underlings, all the people who, like, aren't rich and famous, who are just, you know, joining up. And they kind of, you know, operate stuff. And there are, like, 30 levels of Scientology.
Well, like, 8. Well, actually 7 right now. You know, there's 7 now, and there is 15. But those levels are hidden levels that only when the Earth reaches certain things. Like, for example, what if there, like, world hunger ended? Yeah. Then level 8 gets released.
Nice.
Because he's like, congratulations, humanity. You've solved hunger. Now the conditions of the Earth are right for more another round of bullshit. I've saved this bullshit. Really?
This has been a long time coming. Well, we finally feel it's right.
Hold on.
Your Celebrity Center is looking good.
I'm going to eat some shrimp now. Calm. Okay, listen up now. This is what I've come up with.
We just gotta hope that there are no Scientologists in the masses right now. Is this gonna be on the internet forever?
There's no masses ever listening to that. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Because, you know, you gotta be careful in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hollywood's a dangerous place.
That's true.
People think, like, you know, like, in New York, trouble will find you, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, in Hollywood, like, you're always in trouble.
You're in trouble. Especially if you start yapping your gums about Scientology. There's this Scientology, so there's something called the Sea Org. And that's when L. Ron Hubbard was, you know, had tax evasion issues. Mm-hmm. He took to the seas and made an organization of volunteers that, if they messed up, had draconian punishment. Also, he had, like, 3 15-year-old girlfriends who outranked everybody.
Wow.
But he was fucking rocking it old school on a yacht and shit. And then he would go to, like, different islands and go, oh, when I, like, 15 lifetimes ago, I was a captain. Always a captain, always a position of power.
Yeah.
Never a janitor or a fucking schizophrenic.
This guy never, like, hit a rock in the road.
No. Just chief, Indian, president, lead pirate.
Oh, that was when I was chief of operations for NASA. Yeah.
Like, oh, really? Whoa. Yeah. Even though NASA was just, like, just made, like, the previous year. But anyway, what was I saying? So there's the Sea Org. So now there's, like, a Sea Org dormitory in Los Angeles where a bunch of Sea Org volunteers, you know, who have signed a billion-year contract to the Church of Scientology live in. And there was one Sea Org member just circling it on a bicycle all fucking night.
Nice.
And these shifts, some of these Sea Org members don't get a lot of sleep. You know, they're working like 18 hours a day, either studying Scientology or, you know, and I mean, I guess you could make an, like, say that they're like a monk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like living
it's like
that
a monastery
sort of
kind of thing.
Right. But because Scientology kind of operates like a corporation, you know, because they've used their religious exempt status to, like, buy up, like, a lot of land.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And then use the land for business reasons. You know what I mean? But they're all tax exempt anyway. Here's the thing about Sea Org members, too. If you're a bad Sea Org member, you've signed a billion-year contract. If you're a bad Sea Org member, you are taken to, like, a re-education.
Really?
Place. Yeah. And
you're,
then,
like, kidnapped and taken to camp.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, man, I messed up. Man, I just need more Scientology. I must be fucking up here. And there's, like, stories of, like, if people are being bad or disrespectful or whatever, they'll, like, row you out in the middle of a freezing lake and throw you in.
Really?
For,
you
like,
just gotta swim
an
back?
Hour and then, you know, put you back in the boat or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't fuck around.
That's intense.
At the re-education center.
Those monks could probably kick ass. You gotta tell them which ass to kick, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they break you.
Anything else we can talk about Godot here? How can we hype it up? Now, it's probably, I'm predicting, December 2013, January 2014.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Somewhere around there, we'll release that shit. But,
yeah, it's going to be in installments, and we're going to be editing it based more on content than rather than keeping it, you know, entirely formula. So, you know, we're expecting, like, maybe, 20 episodes.
And like between, that. 2.5 minutes to 5 minutes each.
Exactly.
You know,
and depending on the scene, you know, we shot it, you know, based on real life. We shot it, you know, on the cheap, on the fly, and we're going to edit it so that it, you know, it breathes. It really gets to a...
And I think that because we shot it, like, on such a shoestring budget, but, like, the performances really come through. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that we really found in editing. Like, as we polish these scenes together, it's really coming together. Like, you know, it's just a matter of... it's hard just to talk in generalities about this, but, yeah. You know, check it out, Waiting for Godot. Believe me, we're putting up some legit shit.
Here comes Godot.
Here comes Godot. I'm
no
sorry.
Longer waiting. Thank God.
You got to get in, but then Murphy, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mr.
We've had
Hallerbeck.
A hell of a hike today and everything.
Yeah, up in the mountains. Probably like 4 or 5 miles. No, maybe like 12 miles.
Yeah, I was thinking 11.
12. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
Because we did some serious shit. It's canyoneering, adventuring, exploring, just living life before the robots take us.
The nanobots take us out from within. They take over our minds and show us weird things of our dad shitting in a corner in clown makeup.
The funnel bots.
All right.
Cool.
Recording. What's going on, everybody? Highway Diaries, episode 19 continues. I'm sitting here with my man, Stephen G. What's up?
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Everything's good.
We, you know, sitting in my car outside. We were just reminiscing about... You had your birthday recently, and we went to...
Medieval Times.
Yes.
Yeah, we went to Medieval Times.
That was fucking great, man.
It was. I got a little too drunk.
Well, we got there a little early, and there's just a bar, and what else are you going to do when you're waiting for your medieval entertainment?
Yeah, but drink. I got, the maiden's kiss. That's what it was. It was all cherry.
Okay.
I had a double shot of that, whiskey, and then I had an entire, half a bottle of probably, a couple glasses of wine, and then, one of those, kamikaze kind of shots.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Drunk. When it's your birthday, people are giving you drinks, you know. You're already in the bag.
Yeah.
You're not used to drinking. I mean, you have other things. You have other vices.
I'm not... Yeah, I don't drink too much, but... then we're going, and then before you know it, I puked all over myself.
Yeah. Well, you left. I was sitting there. We just ate our entree, which was the giant half chicken. Beautiful. And you're calling the bar wench around. Bar wench, it's like you're eating with your hands. You know, you're watching. Most of it is fucking horsemanship, though. You're watching them. I'm like, don't you kill each other at some point? You have 900 things of horsemanship and... acrobatic skills. You don't remember most of this.
Just doing
though.
This. Yeah. It's just people just...
The French walk or whatever. It would just do a little trot. And you're like, yay. Someone chop that horse's head off. I want to see violence. Yeah. Someone decapitate it with a mace or something. Let's go. And then the falcon comes around. And I'm just watching. The only thing I'm watching as that falcon's going around is the falcon's butthole. Because I'm going, I know that thing is going to shit right now. Just imagine if that thing just shat right on your food.
Oh, yeah, it would happen.
Somehow, this never happens. They got it well trained. I don't know. Maybe
how many times have you gone?
I've gone probably 6 times.
You've gone to Medieval Times 6 times.
In my life.
Wow.
Maybe 7.
I've gone twice in my life.
Wow. Yeah, we had one, I guess, Lyndhurst, New Jersey. And, you know, a lot of parents had their birthday parties there, you know. Taking their kids. Not parents, you know, kids right. Parties and parents take you out. And, you watch some violence. The first time I went, my night won, and it was a big moment in my life.
Oh, wow. You're like, I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. I'm a chosen one. Yeah, my night's never won. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm definitely...
Because you get assigned a night right at the beginning. It's green or black and white or all the different colors.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I get any of those colors. I don't know. I don't even remember what color. I think it was blue. Blue never wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Blue is like a kind of a, oh, I'm a boy. Yeah. But it's not like a man. It's not like black and red, you know? Mm-hmm. That night's a killer. That night is farts excellence.
I think on Reddit I saw that there was a post on Reddit about the, like, there was a guy who is a knight for medieval times, yeah, and you can ask him anything.
Ask him anything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was really, and what do people ask this knight?
I didn't read it.
But, hey, if you want to go on Reddit, if you want to go on Reddit, see what the knights are talking about. They're blogging up a storm.
Yeah. Some people, yeah. Great. They're living their lives is great.
Yeah, but so you kind of, from my perspective, I was just watching the show, and then you just disappeared for a long time, and then you, I guess, went to the bathroom, then you came back and sat for 2 minutes, then you ran out again, went to the bathroom.
Yeah, it was terrible. Oh,
and
man.
Then you came back a third time, but everyone was really hungry, and we had all eaten. At least. And then the fighting was about to start. And then you come up to me and you go, we got to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
Yeah.
And you're like, we're out now.
Yeah.
I am sick. And then, yeah, so me and Jeff, you know, got in my car and we put you in. And the whole time you were just like, like you're
did,
in hospice
I do remember
care.
Like screaming at the top of my lungs, oh my god, why did I drink so much and smoke so much?
Yeah. And I remember, like, there's like this nursing home that my grandma was in called Heath Village, and like the whole time, like every time you visit her, there's this one lady who's just like, oh my god, kill me, like she's just in horrible pain. You kind of reminded me of that lady then.
Oh my god!
You just kept moaning.
Oh my god!
And I was just driving you. Oh yeah, and then you're dry heaving. We gave you a bag. Did anything come out of you in the car?
No. I actually kept puking into the next day. I was just puking all night.
Yeah.
My body does that occasionally.
Mm-hmm. You hit the reset button with the amount of alcohol you have.
And then, like, for the next day, you're eating bread. No, not even bread. I'm sorry. Bananas, rice, applesauce.
You call me and you're like, hey, if you're going to stop by, I think I had to pick something up from you or like a jacket or something. Like, hey, can you give me like 2 bananas?
Yeah.
Just, I am. And I knew you were in fucking trouble.
I'm in pain. Yeah. But you know what? Who's going to fucking hear it, right?
My ratings are pretty low, if anyone has been checking in on that.
Yeah.
And I think I've done one episode every day this week, and instead of getting like 30 listeners per episode, now it's like down to 2. So it's like they're now maybe the same. Maybe I'll get 30 listeners a week and it's different people. But they're only going to listen to 1 a week. That is, I am over flooding the market right now, big time. So, this is a failed process so far. We're learning.
We're learning.
We look at statistics.
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Try to do a promotional week. Like, oh, I'm just going to blast you with, like, a marathon of this shit. And the people have spoken. This is the Friday show. I didn't know that on Monday when I made the promise. I'm going to give you guys 30, you know, 5 episodes this week. So I lost.
Yeah.
I hope some of you stick around. Get in the trenches with me. Because I'll tell you what, big news I have today that 2 Tuesdays from now, Bobby Slayton is going to be my guest. So, you know. Look forward to those to come. Anyway, I punched my roommate's dog recently.
Okay.
Now, that sounds like, oh, you're a monster. Let me set up a scenario. At the beginning of this podcast, you heard Devin Murphy. We had a conversation. He came over to my house and he rang the doorbell. The dog goes crazy and starts running towards the door. Like, and I watch a lot of Dog Whisper. If you watch Dog Whisper, the Cesar Millan
you know, kicks a dog every now and then. You know, if a dog is in a certain state, if a dog is freaking out and is, like, all aggressive, other dogs, to calm it down, will bite it in the neck and go, snap out of it, bitch. You know, like, together in a pack, a mm-hmm. bunch of dogs will just, they understand touch, you know, and they'll just bump each other.
You touched his dog hard. That's probably what happened.
I went at him big, so it would look like the dog would just recoil in my move towards. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't fucking break his rib. I didn't dig in. I just went bop, just so he would feel something at his side.
All right, just like punch me in the arm right now, like how you punched him.
Well, that's it. Hold on.
Just punch me in
Hold
the arm.
Hold on a sec.
Ah! Oh, God! Oh, God! You're oh, not, fucking, oh!
You're not helping my case right now, Steve. So what I'm saying is...
That wasn't so bad.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, that happened, my roommate Sergio saw it, and, you know, in his head, I'm beating on Michael Vick and his dog right now.
Right.
I'm putting a beating on it.
Right.
And then he goes, you know, you can't, you know, have my dogs in your room anymore. Either. Because sometimes his dogs hang out in my room, and I pet him and whatever. And I'm like, thinking, like, what do you think I'm doing? Like, kickboxing your dogs? Like, I drag them in my room, and I'm just, like, kickboxing them. That's what happens. It's the octagon.
You would love for that to actually happen, though. Yeah. That's the thing.
What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
you would. You would love to have, like, a fucking dog, like... like, I would love to see that. Like, if dogs actually did the actual, like...
MMA fighting.
MMA fighting, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, dog fighting doesn't look like that.
No, it's just, it doesn't. But once they learn to stand and do this,
yeah,
that's
true.
The true dog fighting.
Yeah. Then it's like a
that's
sport.
That's like fisticuffs, yeah. Like a real sport, like a man sport with a handlebar mustache.
Like, you know, in the UFC, they don't fight to the death with, like, metal teeth and they try to bite each other's jugulars off. They're kickboxing,
yeah.
You know? And so if dogs could do that, then dog fighting, hello, new sport.
Yeah.
Dog kickboxing.
Exactly. Dog kickboxing.
Can you think it's ever possible for a dog to knock out another dog with a kick?
That would be awesome.
What if it, like, went, like, on his hind legs? Or, like, it pushed forward, like, did a push-up, and then kicked out its back leg?
Oh, yeah, like, backwards? Like fucking...
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I like it. Where his stomach is pointing towards the ground.
But activists would go fucking bananas.
Dude, that would be the best YouTube video ever.
Imagine
like,
what
viral.
PETA would say if you had...
We should film that somehow. That'd be great.
Do you know the years of training it would take to teach a dog to break a balsa wood board with that kick?
Yeah, no, they don't have too much power.
But like a bulldog, you know, you think like it's short and stubby, but it might be like
that's
Tyson.
Even worse.
It has a range. Man.
I don't know. I
bulldogs
think
are strong.
Dude, that's like a T-Rex trying to punch you rather than like bite you. You know what I mean?
What dog do you think would throw the best kick? Probably a greyhound.
Yeah, I would think like a greyhound or maybe one of those like Dalmatian. I don't know.
Imagine if like you could get a Dalmatian to stand on its hind legs and like look like a French boxer just for a sec, like a 20s boxer with like
I'm sure one there's paw some weird pictures that display
with boxing mat gloves
there's
on.
There's gotta be pictures of like dogs in like boxing, like you know what I mean?
Yeah, come here, son.
Yeah, and then with a handlebar mustache. We need to make that picture if that does not exist.
Yeah, yeah. He was like really mad for a few days. I tried to apologize immediately. But I was with my buddy Devin. We were about to move some things around, and I was talking to him, and I wasn't focused on how mad Sergio got. Mm-hmm. So I just said, hey, I'm sorry, man. You know, like, I tried to do it, and I guess maybe I didn't say it like that. Maybe I was like, I'm sorry, because I was trying to read him, or I don't know how I said it. That's probably important. Anyway, then a couple days later, you know, I kept clear of the house for a few days.
Right.
I just wanted
right.
to calm down.
Right.
Just want to make sure, like, can process it and put the things in context, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know what people are stressed about, you know. So, gave him a couple days to cool down. Then we had a chat. Everything's fine now. But, you know, I guess...
Everything happened good in that chat? Like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I apologized, and, you know, And that's that.
That's it.
But here's the other thing. The trouble was, this happened on Friday. On Thursday. On Friday, I'm planning to shoot Damien Shadows all day.
Oh, yeah.
With a few scenes with the dog. And I know, I don't even ask if I can use the dog, because he seemed really angry, and then you don't want to be like, oh, by the way, tomorrow, can I, like, use your dog? By the way, I won't kick it in the mouth or anything. You know, like, I won't box him up. I won't give him a roughing. So, is that cool? I didn't even want to have that conversation, so we just went without. So, sorry, you know, there's a couple jokes involving dogs that we'll keep for later. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every now and then, you just gotta go with what you have at the time.
Definitely.
We were sitting in a car, and as people walked by, we're very visible.
Yeah, but they're using their peripherals to watch us. They're not, like, staring at us directly. But yeah. I'm staring at them directly.
What type of people have been walking by?
There was some ladies. Uh-huh. There's some ladies with some very interesting garments.
Uh-huh. Very revealing. Provocative. Very revealing.
They are gone now. There aren't any more.
Yeah, there was, like, a hooker marching before. And, I was getting paranoid that they saw that, you know, I had headphones on and some kind of recording device, like maybe we were private dicks, you know? Mm-hmm. We were doing a journalism story and we're going to blow up their spot that way.
No, that's cool.
We're doing some news right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we are doing this.
Japanese man pays $780,000.
Wait, U.S. dollars. A Japanese man paid in United States dollars.
Well, I think he paid in Japanese dollars, but they've translated it.
Don't have dollars, they have
yen.
Yen.
But they've translated it in the US dollar so that the readers don't go, how much is 6 million yen? You know, they've just done it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you should put
I just
it
wanted to clarify.
I'm not sure, yeah. I'm assuming that that's how it worked. Maybe they used a website. So basically she put her twat on auction. It's because she goes, I don't know how to pay for college. I don't want to be a hooker for like 9 years. Mm-hmm. So let me just put this online and see what kind of creepy rich person wants it. And they're actually setting up a website like this where you can auction off virginity. What do you think about this, man?
First of all, I think there will be a dispute. At the end, like, what's going to happen from all this is that it'll end up with the dispute that she indeed was not a virgin when he had sex with her.
Do you think they're going to sell multiple girls over and over again and always call him a virgin?
No, I mean, like, how do you know that the girl is a virgin? I mean, did they verify it in this story?
Yeah, and that's a thing. Oh, really, okay. The only thing is, like, a hymen tear, really. So if you pop it, that's the only way to know for sure.
Yeah.
Unless, is she going to come with a gynecological exam?
You know what, though? Like, it's weird of the Japanese man to be like, you know what? I need a virgin.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's some kind of ritual thing. Like,
yeah.
You know? Like, maybe he thinks he'll get, like, powers from it.
You know, in
Africa, there's all these crazy tribes that think that they can get rid of their AIDS by raping a virgin.
Yeah.
And so then two people have AIDS now. Congratulations.
Wow. I don't think anybody's virginity is worth that much money.
When you think about it, the first time is kind of awkward. It's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Get someone with experience.
Oh, wow.
I guess you got to be... Oh, it's so creepy, actually. Anyway, German teen, a 14-year-old kid, stole all his mom's jewelry and basically got a whole weekend in a brothel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got arrested by the police, you know.
How much money was it?
It was worth between $2,500 and $3,800.
And pawned it for
$300. Yeah.
And $80.
And he got it for $380. But if you want to go to the brothel like that day, that's the best that a guy's going to do. Is put it. So, man, then his mother just immediately went, she came home from, like, her trip to Frankfurt or whatever, and she was at Munich during Oktoberfest showing her tits or whatever, and then she goes, oh my god, I've come back, and what have you done?
Yeah.
And then she was like, I want to wear my pearls and my jewels. Yeah. I want to put them on. She went in and... the second she saw that they weren't there.
There it is. Hey, man. Well, at least he got some prostitutes.
Yeah. Hey.
That's the best thing.
He did get arrested, but let me say, yeah.
But he got the sex, though.
It is
he
possible.
He got his rocks off. And that was all worth it.
We're not condoning this, but we're saying...
do this.
That guy did spend a weekend in a brothel.
Yes.
So
that's the best part. He's 14.
Let's look on the
He's
outside.
He's 14.
You know how much that blew his fucking mind?
How can you... You shouldn't... You know what? 14-year-old... Like, people who are under 18 shouldn't be able to sell anything.
This kid just comes in with all this gold and the pawn shop owner's like, yeah, that's right. That's cool. Where'd you get it? Is that all your mom's jewelry? No! Where'd you get it? He's got like a baseball cap on, like a pinwheel hat.
God, yeah. I would buy it. In a heartbeat, I'd
buy
it.
For $380.
I'd be like, I got a receipt.
That guy knows what it is because he takes it in the back. He looks at it. You know, he finds it's all 24 carats and all the diamond sizes.
And then he's going to offer some shit price, like $380.
But...
because the 14-year-old doesn't know better. He doesn't know the difference between $380 and $3,800.
I think that guy, like, look, girls don't understand. When you're 14 years old, the amount of hormones that are being pumped through your system all the time. I remember I used to stare at my ceiling and curse God, like, why have you made me this horny? I'm trying to sleep. I have a big day tomorrow.
I don't believe in God.
Fuck you, God. Right. Fuck you.
I don't believe in
it's
God.
It's too much. There's a statistic that you can, like, every dude can, like, impregnate every girl on the planet in one lifetime. That's how much seed he generates. You know what I'm saying?
Go on. I want to talk about God for a second.
Go on.
What do you think God is, Eric?
Well, I was raised Catholic, you know, so I always thought that God was this big, scary man in the clouds who was, like, watching me pee and making me feel shame about my body, and that everything I do is dirty and sinful, even though they're just natural.
Yeah, they're just, that's
evolutionary occurrences.
Yep.
And, I don't know, but then, when you get to thinking about it... is it all just evolution? Or what is that thing that makes ideas grow? Like, you watch ideas of enlightenment, like, burst through a culture. And what is that? What is that, like, consciousness that everyone taps into when it's super positive, you know? You know, and people like Martin Luther King kind of break that mold, and all of a sudden it's like he's looked at like a god because he gave this illumination to so many people of this is how you should treat people. And it was this, he was this.
Why are you talking about Martin Luther King?
Well, I'm
right
saying
now.
He almost tapped into whatever God consciousness is. I think people who personify God are like, it's like probably.
Yeah, the way that I look at it is that Martin Luther King would just say things that people would agree with him. And then that's kind of the where I...
Are you a total atheist?
I am not an atheist. I am not a... I wouldn't say I'm an atheist. I don't think that there is no God, but I don't think that there is a God.
So you just are agnostic where you just... or not agnostic.
I think there's just
you just don't know.
No, it's... I think I know what something is. There is something. in front of me. If I asked, if I had to ask you this strange question and mm-hmm. you had to answer it straight up, okay, the way I would question, the question is, why is there something instead of nothing? How would you answer mm-hmm. that?
It could have been a 50-50. And,
this consciousness, went this way. You experience something in front of you right now, right? Like, something's happening. Mm-hmm. We're doing this. Like, mm-hmm. we're talking.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like, I talked about this before. I've only done mushrooms once, you know? Mm-hmm. But, in that time, they people say you have, like, really intense spiritual moments. And I feel like I did. Because I, like, saw... like these bursts of geometric shapes, like coming off of trees and stuff. And it's almost like I saw, like, this pulse, this, like, pulse of, like, fractals of possibilities that immerse out from. It seems. These bursts of possibilities turn random things into stuff that can become closer to looking like a tree, and then a tree is born. But it's like there's this infinite possibilities of, you know, intelligence kind of pushing it along. I don't know what that is, but I feel like Christianity has it the most wrong. Sometimes,
I think,
because they personify God too much.
I think anybody who puts something above their own self-interest, you know, but also keeping in mind that self-interest can also be a long-term kind of goal as far as, like, wanting to help or... you know, something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not articulating.
No, there's this, like, powerful scene in Braveheart, actually, that I always think about, where the soldiers were, like, coming to town, and they were, like, you know, gonna take over this one village, this mm-hmm. one Irish village, and then this one lady just walks towards them.
I have not seen Braveheart. Okay. I just want to let you know.
That's fine. Yeah. So she just walks towards him and, like, puts, like, a flower on his sword, and then walks towards him. It's like, look... all I'm going to give you is a flower, so if you want to rape and kill me, I guess that's your prerogative. Uh-huh. And she just walked forward, and then he did take her, but I guess she, like, saved the rest of the village. So, but it was just like, why did she do that? It was so
unselfish. How could that have saved the rest of the village?
They were getting nutty because they wanted in that...
which guy? Just one guy? Just Mel Gibson?
I think... no, not Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson wasn't the raper. This is English soldiers.
Oh, I see. I don't know what context it was.
Yeah, so it's evil English imperial soldiers are just taking over this town. They're reminding Ireland, hey, we own you, bitch. We can send soldiers. That's why we own you. They were rebelling.
And then she had that flower.
She had that flower, and yeah. He was going to take over the village, and then she just gave him the flower. Mm-hmm. Look, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. You might rape and kill me, right. But you'll think about it.
Right.
Because I didn't put up a fight.
No. Yeah, I would have...
so you got to live with that.
Yeah. I would fight as much as I possibly could, and at the last moment, kill myself.
What do you mean?
If someone was trying to rape or kill
me. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be your move?
Yeah, that would be my move. I'd fight as much as I possibly could until I could anymore, and then I'd try to kill myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you don't feel the physicality of your...
yeah. I wouldn't want that.
I have the worst ass. I would be the worst. I'm always having, like, hemorrhoid issues. You know what I'm saying? I'm always having things like that. Honestly. So mm-hmm. if I got raped, it would be... bad news bears.
Yeah, let me tell you for something. Everybody.
I also think it's important to, like, be open to a change, be open to an evolution.
Yeah.
You know? I think, like, people like to stay spiritually grounded because they know if they stick to a set of principles or a set of, you know, guidelines of a religion, that they can, you know, go, well, at least I'm still doing this stuff.
So some people like structure, I'm trying to evolve. So I can understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People like do like structure, some people.
I can understand. I'm sure it's good for some people, religion. Yeah. But I think, like, the organized thing, really, it's like, I don't want anyone else talking about what's in my head. First, I want to really figure out what's going on in my head and how I directly relate to what would spirituality be. Because I think there's a lot of dojos out there, and I don't like the politics of the being a spiritual enlightened dojo player. What I'm saying
I wouldn't want to be a dojo master.
I should say dojo is a church. But, yeah, it's like these have a different set of disciplines. Oh, you learn this about spirituality. If someone comes up to you, break a board.
Yeah, that's it.
That's our dojo religion. So, basically, also, and I mean, kids, if you want to have some sex and you're like, fuck you, God, why are you giving me this much of a boner? I can't handle what this level without the access to a woman. Sell your mom's jewelry. You'll only get about $380 if she has, like, really nice shit. But you can spend a weekend in a brothel. And after you unload yourself, you'll be dehydrated. You'll be happy someone, there's just a bed to sleep in. You'll be happy to be locked up in jail. You're going to be in a pussy coma. This kid. Anyway. All right, we have another news story. A New York court finds pole dancing a revenue that can be taxed. Leave it to New York fucking politicians to go, yeah, I want some of that titty money. Let's, you know.
Well, they are making money, so you gotta get, I mean, money as well. But you know, I feel bad for the strippers. They're the ones that probably suffer the most.
Uh-huh.
I would say support your local stripper and call them directly over to your house instead of going to a club or whatever. And you're working something out with them on a personal level. I think that microeconomics is the way to go. For us to all have better kinds of, like, financial situations.
So you're saying, cut a deal. Wait, you're saying buy directly from her?
Yeah.
Instead of have the money go to a pimp or a strip club?
Right.
You know, how much does a strip club get for her lap dance?
Half.
The strip club's pussy isn't rubbing himself against the boner. That's a stripper's pussy. She should get more than... You know,
that is what happens, yes, but we're also... yeah, that is what happens.
The place you're over right. her head, the overhead is half.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the thing. So, previously, their performances were categorized under... Wait. Artistic. So before, they were labeled under, this is an art performance, and I guess when you're just doing, like, a ballet recital, they can't tax that money for some reason. It's a cultural art thing.
Oh.
That's the legislation. So that's where they were in.
Oh, and then, shit, that's fucked up,
and
man.
And then now they're saying, look, you're a fucking stripper, man. That's taxable income. So I guess they're going after, you know, with all these budget cuts and, you know, they're like, getting money any way they can. Here's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Baboon personalities connected to social success and health benefits. I was reading through this article.
Yes.
You don't need to read it. It's pretty boring. It's got a lot of technical stuff in it. But here's the gist of it. Here's what the concentrate of this story. It's about to happen. So a baboon who has, like, a social, like, if a baboon is, like, talking to you, he's eating some flies off of you, he's laughing next to you, he's rubbing his belly, he's eating lettuce, you know, he's social. Then he goes around and hangs out with the other group, and he's nice, he gives them food and stuff, he laughs, and then he takes food off there. Baboons that are hustling like that and then are social, they live the longest, they have the best food. They reproduce the most.
Hmm.
So, you know, yeah, there might be an alpha male, but in a baboon society, you know, the funny sociable guy gets laid a lot too, you know?
Oh, okay.
And lives the longest, so.
Yeah. That's a good way to live. Good on you, baboon.
Hey, look, even a baboon is doing positive thinking. He's going, right. Yeah, I could go, why are you throwing your shit at me, motherfucker? Getting all angry and aggro at his... Yeah. That is monkey partners.
Do you know what species do that?
The
poo throwing.
Definitely chimps.
Chimps.
But I'm sure a lot of them do. But I know chimps are famous for it.
I feel like there's certain people who are probably from, like, the chimp line, and then some people who are kind of from the baboon line.
What do you mean?
If you're talking about the monkeys, like, they're all. Notice how all those there are all these different monkeys. If they're our ancestors, right? Mm-hmm. But we've just progressed past them for some reason. If right. we are from them.
Right, right, right.
Or maybe we both came from a certain stem. But there's, like, other stems. Of, like, there's, like, baboons, and then there's, like, chimps. But then there are other people, like... Like, you and I look very, very different, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. as far as physical look. Mm-hmm. But there are people that look kind of more like you, and then there are people that look kind of more like mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. But are those from, like, chimps or, like, baboons? Or, like, I wonder if there's, like, a specific divide there.
That's interesting. What if... It was aliens. do you
Where watch... are the answers, Eric? I thought you had all the answers.
Do you ever watch Ancient Aliens, though?
No, I've never seen it.
They always talk about... And they always talk about how... they say different cultures. You know, they're like, where do you think the word cultures come from? Cultures, milk cultures. That's the that's the alien making it in the Petri dish. Making a different culture. Oh, so I'm going to make Korean people put them over here.
Oh, that's interesting, actually. Then I'm going to have a culture.
The aliens did different, you know, cultures around based on, you know.
Oh.
That sounds ridiculous. I think it's
more
like...
That doesn't sound so ridiculous to me.
Well, here's why. I think it's like people are evolved, like, climatologically.
Climatologically?
Is that a word?
I don't think so.
I've invented the science.
I'm pretty sure it's not a
climatological. No, you know, like, they adapt to their climate. Like, for example,
okay, let's
Eskimos
say it is a word.
Can, like,
yeah.
Or it's Inuits, you know.
Inuits.
Inuits.
IR Eskimos.
Or.
Inuits.
Inuits. They Inuits. Inuits.
Inuits.
Inuits.
What does that mean? What is Inuit?
It's, well, I think it's, like, Eskimos. They don't like being called Eskimos.
Took a little break. Got some, Pellegrinos. Orange and lemon.
Yep.
Dynamite.
Delicious.
They are dynamite in a can.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Ow!
Dynamite. 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 Blowing up your face in a space called dynamite.
Gonna give it to my pyrite. What did I just say?
Pyrite. It's like a pirate. Pyrite.
What did I just say?
Shit,
don't worry about my shit, motherfucker. You rap.
What? I said dynamite. man.
Wow.
You know what puts you in a good mood?
What?
Els Pellegrino. San Pellegrino.
Please don't make
in a can. It's called a Limonada. And
we shouldn't be making references to San Pellegrino.
I'm saying if you guys want to sponsor us, we're gonna move a lot of product for you. Because we're bigging it up. We're big fans.
You're blatantly saying San Pellegrino as many times as you possibly can.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
look,
you are.
I'm just saying, if San Pellegrino wants to be our sponsor...
Stop saying San Pellegrino.
Specifically the brand of Limonada and Orangeada.
This liquid that we're drinking is good.
You think I should Greek it up? Yeah, I should take out all the
mentions
of
bleep this out.
Logos.
We're going to definitely bleep this out in
post.
In post. Oh.
What a refreshing San Pellegrino Limonada,
so
right?
Good.
Kaboom!
Boom!
Dynamite!
Oh!
just keeping it fresh.
Fresh.
Keeping it loose.
Kinky.
What?
Kinky.
What?
Dynamite. Boom.
Boom. If you are listening to this, you've been fully hypnotized.
What?
Yeah. That's the encoded in that song. That sounded like improv. That was not improvised. We've laid that out. And if you play it backwards, it puts like 600 messages directly in your brain. So now... Dynamite. Now, let me tell you something, listener. Now that you're under my spell, now that we've given you the perfectly timed dynamite rap, you know, it sounded like a bunch of stupid nonsense. It's not true.
Not true.
Not true whatsoever.
Ooh, 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 ow!
How does that make you feel?
Dynamite. A little tingling? Dynamite.
A little tingling down your spine? Dynamite.
The reptilian part of your brain?
Yeah, that's us in your mind.
Oh, hello. Hello, lady in your skirt.
Yeah, we can see people in the car over here.
She is walking down the street, getting into her.
I think she might.
She's getting into a Mustang.
I don't know. Let me tell you something about my car. That? Not very soundproof.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody can hear what I'm saying about. She's gonna pull into the house. Lady in her old Mustang. What's that, a 1998 Mustang?
She's pulling out. She's pulling out. She's driving off.
She's driving off.
Lady in her 1988 Mustang. Pulling out her driveway, smoking her cigarettes and going, boy, what a rough world. So she's speeding it. She's stressed from the city and she's speeding it. 98 Mustang, 98 Mustang. She's stressed from the city now. She's stressed. Pulling out too fast.
Bumper to bumper. Bumper only stopped 5 miles an hour. Anything over, you're gonna crash. Your car's gonna get wrecked up. Your lipstick's gonna be smashed. You're gonna be looking a fool. Looking like a tool.
Wanna now. Ooh, 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 ooh. 98 Mustang. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Lady pulling out. Pulling out a driveway.
Ooh, 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 ooh. With the 98 Mustang.
She's got a 98 Mustang. It's pulling out of her driveway.
Stick with the left, butter pan with the right. She's cooking while she's on the highway. She's cooking while she's on the highway. Making an oven, the engine's hot. She's got 6 chickens in that pot. She's cooking on the highway. Cooking with a 92 Mustang, motherfucker. Shrimp and grits in the cooling. Cook them with your car.
She's got a daughter. No one knows her mother. She's not bothered. She's just around the block all the time. Asking around for all the kind of limes in a Corona. When she's at the bar, when she's a fly. Everybody asks, hey, what's your number? And she gives it right out without any complaints.
Handed her number out. 98 Mustang. Cooking a saucepan in the passenger seat.
98 Mustang. 98 Mustang. You got a 98 Mustang. It's a shit stang. It's got a sidebar. It's got 4 tires that are recently new but were $80 each because you got 3, 4, and then the 4th one free from Jiffy Lube. Even though Jiffy Lube doesn't even sell tires because you suck the guy's dick. He got the tires for you from Pep Boys. He went to Pep Boys and bought the tires. Then went to get some rubbers, but not tire rubbers. Oh no.
Got from Pep Boys. Get paid in sex. You want new tires on that 98 Mustang, Chiquita? We can work something out. I put my cash on the dash. I'll put something in your bun. I'll bake some baby in that bun. Let me tell you something. Put fresh tires on your Mustang. You just gotta touch my wang. Mustang.
Just touch my wang. I work at Pep Boys. I work at Pep Boys. Uh-huh, I work at Pep Boys. And I'm 14 years old.
Bing.
They're gonna arrest me after this sex coma. I'm 14 years old. I'm working on papers. I'm handing out titles in exchange for blowjobs. And when the cops arrest me, I'll be in a pussy coma anyway.
Everybody knows pussy can come and come is pussy. Everybody knows that it's your pussy. Everybody can't rhyme with that pussy. So pussy, 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 pussy.
Pet boys.
Gonna get some rubbers.
Find some rubbers.
We're not done.
We're not done.
That's not it. That's not the end. That's just the beginning.
Of
everything. Of the Eric Hollerbach podcast. That we're on right now. Oh my God. Do you remember? Do you remember Eric Hollerbach?
This is called Highway Diary with Eric Hollerbach, first of all.
Hollerbach!
Yeah.
Erich? Erich?
Mm-hmm.
Erich?
Erich Notch.
Erich Notch?
Holler binoculars.
Holler binoculars?
Mm-hmm.
Erich Notch holler binoculars.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Actually, a telemarketer once called my house, and they said, I'm looking for Toe Holler Binocular. My dad's name is Tom, and he's like, you didn't get Tom right? Toe Holler Binocular.
One time, I got some mail
for
Arthur Kupressert, but my name's Stephen G. They spelled it really wrong. They got it wrong.
Are you sure that there's not an Arthur Kupressert somewhere?
I'm pretty sure that was addressed for me. That was supposed to be my mail.
You just knew.
Looked at it, I was like, that should be my nail. They just spelled my name wrong Arthur Kupressert.
Maybe there's a Toe Holler Binocular somewhere.
There's probably a Toe Holler Binocular. Maybe there is somebody. That was my mail.
He just stops by one day.
He's a letter to my son that I sent to him.
For some reason, I think he's just got like a big toenail for a forehead. I'm Toe Holler Binocular.
Toe Holler Binocular. He
sneezes and snot just comes out.
Oh, what?
I'm Toe Holler Binocular. It would be such a loser.
Oh, that would be like the...
I want all my junk mail, please.
It's definitely like a cabbage head kind of character.
Your dad, you know, is a physicist and college professor.
Yes.
What does he know about that I don't know about?
I don't know what he knows.
What, in a general sense, does he know?
He's a theoretical physicist.
Mm-hmm.
So... he knows about that stuff.
Does he? Do you have? I'm sure you have a better knowledge of what that is than I do.
Nope. Just regular human comprehension is not. It is not. It's a different language altogether. Mm-hmm. I would walk into his office and just not know, you know, anything about what it said. I remember my dad one time asked me when I was in fourth... Or I asked my dad, I'm sorry. I asked my dad one time in fourth grade what gravity was.
Mm-hmm.
And he replied, -9.81 meters per second squared.
That's hilarious.
And I think for 4 hours, he lectured me about what a decimal was. He taught me what negative meant. He taught... Or tried to... I had no idea, but it was, I think he made me cry a lot, because he would, like, quiz me, and then, like, you know,
he would
train
like,
me, you know, to be like, blah, blah, blah.
Why don't you know college physics?
Well, yeah.
Wow, I'm angry now.
Yeah. He had high expectations, for sure. He pushed me along really well, and so, like, I feel like I got, like, a logical kind of thing from him,
mm-hmm.
which is cool, but... that's my parents. That's my dad, kind of in a nutshell. But he's really nice. He's really mellowed out recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, super cool. And he'll just, like, call and be like, hey, how's it going? I'm your dad. Mm-hmm. And then I'll talk to mom, and she'll be like, oh, make sure you're saving money. Mm-hmm. That's all she says.
Uh-huh. Good tip.
Yeah, pretty good. They're fun. Mm-hmm. They're fun people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Did you have, like, a rebellious thing going on when your dad was, you know, into his whole theoretical physics thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Rebelled from that?
Yeah, I was definitely like, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I decided not to. When I was in, like, elementary school, he made me do, like, way higher than I was supposed to. And then from there, I ended up in high school having, like, a college professor come and teach, like, six of us students. And then we wouldn't have class on Monday or Friday, but we would learn, like, differential equations.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't fucking remember differential equations. I took the class, sure. I think I got a B, mm-hmm. you know, like, maybe a B minus, I don't know.
So you just learned what they would...
Yeah, it's like learning a language, you know, that's all it is. It's just, like, symbols and what that means, and that means that this moves over there, and mm-hmm. this other thing. And then you just, you know, it's like that, but to think of it in real time, like, what you're actually measuring or what that application is, and then you think about, like, how fucking useless it is in the end, mm-hmm. you know? As far as, like, that goes, I tried to do... Like, I studied philosophy, which is not any better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not any better.
It's all this weird information stuff that you don't have access to.
Yeah, and then I just learned, you know what? The best thing to do is to, like... Just be right here, right now, and not think about these other things. Mm-hmm. Just be there, be here. Like, you got to do what you got to do, and then that purpose that you have is the purpose that you have, and that's it. And that's the meaning of life. The meaning mm-hmm. of life is what you are doing right now. At this moment, the meaning of life for me is sipping the San Pellegrino and having a conversation with you.
If San Pellegrino want to sponsor this,
fuck!
Free.
No! I mean, bleep that out. No, I was going to...
You have a nice orange limonada, don't you? There?
No!
Orangeana.
No!
Wow. San Pellegrino quenches your thirst. So at the end of all your philosophy training...
It's just like, it doesn't... None of it matters. None of it matters at all.
Did you learn how to write a good essay or whatever? Because you would have to, you know.
I think so. I think I learned that how to format an essay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just
and argue stuff about philosophy stuff.
I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would do that. But I don't even like arguing about that stuff.
You just
I would just like listen to other people argue in class.
Yeah.
And then like not. I don't know. I didn't really have much input. I was just like, oh, well, that's what you think.
So you're just, like, taking in the experience of that and listening to... Do you think you're trying to work out...
I'm just trying to...
Go on.
You know, I always wondered who I was in what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I wanted to do. But now I just realize that I never really wanted to do anything.
Then after all that time, it's like, you know what would be great? Not doing anything.
Yeah. That's not true, though. I mean, there are things that I do want to do, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but those require very little work.
Well, you have a fun life, though. You're always performing improv and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know?
I do that.
We watch a lot of movies at work. It's not so bad.
That's true. Yeah, maybe I should be more present about my own life, and especially right now.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm just talking about my life.
That's fine. That's great.
It's very selfish.
I'm asking you questions about
Super
it.
Super selfish of me to do this. So selfish.
I've talked so much about my parents on this thing. And
really?
Yeah, my mom called in, actually, a couple episodes back.
Oh.
We just kind of made fun of her a little bit.
Okay. And then,
My mom's fine, yeah. She's going to actually be here in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And take her to a massage parlor?
What? Maybe, yeah. I wouldn't have any problem with that. Try to get some strong man hands on her and, so she feels like a woman again. But I'm a little worried because she's saying she has the sleep apnea. She's got the sleep apnea. But apparently she has this machine that she can't bring here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little worried about the snoring. I'm a little worried about the snore.
You should be more worried about her waking up in the middle of the night.
Well, obviously. So there's like the like a mouthpiece thing that you can get that hopefully helps. You know, we'll see what else we can do though. Wonder if you can rent one of those things.
There's probably equipment places around here.
Mm-hmm. I've been your host, Eric Hollenbach. My co-host has been
Stephen G. Stephen G.
Oh, where can people see
you? Stephen G.
Where can people see you do improv, man?
Stephen G. can be seen at the English Beacon Moose on Tuesdays at I.O. West at the Del Close Theater at 10:30. It's in the corner of Hollywood and Cosmo.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I can also be seen on Tuesdays earlier at 8, from 8 to 10 at the Complex, which is on the corner of Wilcox and Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Be friends with Stephen G.
Be friends with Stephen G.
And when he puts out events, go see him.
I'm going to be a radio DJ one day.
Thanks for being here, Stephen. Oh, and April 6th, 9:30 at Flappers Burbank. I got a stand-up show.
Go to Eric's stand-up show in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
At Flappers, which is on the corner of San Fernando and Magnolia. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And there's a parking thing right there. Also, apparently you can park in the Sears building. You know, I don't know what that means, but do that.
Go there. Go to the Sears building. That's in Chicago.
No, I meant the Sears. I guess there's a Sears.
Oh, there's a Sears in the
mall. And then there's a Sears parking lot.
All right.
And apparently you can do that, and they're cool with it.
Oh, that's a great place to go.
So, that's what we're
Have you ever tried the cardigan sweaters over at Sears?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening.
All right. See you later.
Bye.